Now open your Bibles again to Colossians chapter 1. Now Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Colossae from Rome, where he was in prison. He wrote it about 60 A.D., just about 30 years after our Lord was crucified and ascended back to the Father. If you'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter 28, for just a moment, I'll show you the type of prison in which Paul was confined. It was in a home, in a hired house. He had a guard, soldiers, but this will help you understand something I'm going to say in a moment. People came and heard him preach for 2 years. In Acts 28, verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no man forbidding him. And the pastor from Colossae came to Rome. His name was Epaphras. You see this down in verse 7. Paul says, "As ye also learned of Epaphras, our fellow servant, who's for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." Epaphras came there and brought some things to Paul and declared to Paul how these people love Christ. And if you turn to the book of Philemon, it's interesting here how that Paul tells about Epaphras being there in prison with him during this visit. In Philemon lived down in Colossae, had a church in his home in Colossae. Epaphras evidently was his pastor. But here in Philemon, verse 23, "There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." When he wrote to Philemon down in Colossae, he said, "Epaphras is here with me. And he sends his regards along with this letter. And he's my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, in the bonds of the gospel." So Paul is in Rome, in prison, in his own hired house, writing to the saints in Colossae as the Spirit of God gave him the words. Holy men of God. You see, the word of God was written by men, Moses and Isaiah and David and Paul and James and John, as God told them to write. All holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God to write the scriptures. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is the word of God. Not some of it. All of it's the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And all scripture is profitable for doctrine, teaching, correction, instruction, and righteousness, for rebuke. It's the word of God. We bow to the word of God. So he starts this book here, this epistle, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." God made him an apostle. "And Timothy, my brother. And with him there was Onesimus, and with him there was Epaphras, their pastor." And he's writing to the saints. Who are saints? Well, every believer is a saint. The scripture says we're sanctified in Christ Jesus. We're sanctified by the Spirit of God. We're sanctified by the Father. We're sanctified by Christ Jesus. Was sanctified by the word. Our Lord prayed, "Sanctify them, Lord, through thy word. Thy word is truth." So every believer is a saint. Not made a saint after he's dead because somebody saw a miracle in his name. Every believer is a saint. "Of God are you in Christ Jesus, who has made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification." You're holy, not in yourself, in him. You're sanctified, not in yourself. We grow in grace, but we're not perfect, by no means in ourselves, but we are in Christ. We're sanctified in Christ. He's writing to the faithful, to the sanctified, and to the faithful brethren. Brethren, this is a family, and a family of faithful people. Let me show you that in two or three scriptures. First of all, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm writing to the saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, to faithful brethren. Faithful. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, what's required of God's people? Well, it says, moreover, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. He's faithful. You be faithful in a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Be thou faithful unto death. I'll give you a crown of life. These all died in faithfulness. Faithful brethren. Let me show you another scripture. Colossians 4. The last chapter of this book of Colossians. Chapter 4, verse 7. Here he talks about two men. Now he's down here in Rome. And with him is Epaphras, the pastor at Colossae. And he says in Colossians 4, verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who's a beloved brother and a faithful minister. He's a brother. He's a faithful brother. A fellow servant in the Lord. Look at verse 9. This will be a blessing to you. With Onesimus. You know who that is? That's that runaway slave. The fellow that was the theme of the book of Philemon. He ran away from Philemon. And Paul wrote this letter for Philemon to accept him, not as a slave anymore, but as a brother. And here he is, verse 9 of chapter 4 of Colossians, with Onesimus. What kind of brother is he? A faithful and beloved brother who's one of you. He's from down there in Colossae. They'll make known unto you all things which are done here. Paul says they're coming, but I'm writing to saints, believers, accepted in the beloved, sanctified in Christ, brethren, believers, brethren, who are brothers in the Lord, who are faithful. Faithful. And then Paul gives these three crowning graces. Look at verse 3 of Colossians 1. I give thanks to God. I give thanks unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for you. Ever since I heard three things about you, and one old writer called them the three crowning graces. The three crowning graces. All other graces just spring from these. I heard about your faith in Christ Jesus. Your faith in Christ Jesus. I heard about your love, which you have for one another. And I heard about the hope that you have, which is laid up for you in heaven. You know, the reason this man called these the three crowning graces is Paul mentions them quite frequently. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. These three graces are mentioned frequently in the epistles of Paul. Here in 1 Corinthians 13, you're familiar with this. You're so familiar with it. And now about it. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Faith in Christ Jesus. Hope of eternal life. A living hope. A blessed hope. A sure hope. And love. Charity. These three. These three. The greatest of these is love. Love. And then in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul mentions these three graces again. These are found in you. Paul said, I just give thanks to God that these graces are found in you. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Love for one another. And a blessed hope of eternal life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. I give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in my prayers. Remembering without ceasing. Here they are, listen. Your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. I thank God. Is that, you see what he's saying? That's the three crowning graces. I believe Christ. I love Christ and love his people. And I have a blessed hope of eternal life only in him. One more. Galatians. Back in Galatians 5, these same three graces are mentioned by Paul again. And I covet growth in all three, don't you? I covet growth in all three. Oh, Lord, the centurion says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, increase our faith, the disciples prayed. Oh, that we might grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ and the love of Christ. Look at Galatians 5, verse 5. Galatians 5, verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. There they are. We wait for that blessed revelation of the mercies of God in Christ, eternal life. And we wait believing Christ. And we have a faith which works. And love is the evidence of that faith. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you love each other. That's the evidence of that faith. But you know, if you notice my text carefully, verse 3, and we talk about believing God, loving one another, and having a blessed hope, where'd you get these graces? These are the three crowning graces, but where'd they come from? Did you produce them? Did they come out of you through your efforts and work and determination? They're gifts of God. Read verse 3 again. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you since we heard of your faith and your hope and your love. When I heard you believed on God, I said, thank God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Faith's the gift of God. That's the reason the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Faith's the gift of God. That's the reason the centurion turned to the right source. He said, Lord, help my unbelief. You help it. You help it. Faith's the gift of God. I thank God for your faith. I thank God he gave you faith. I thank God he gave me faith. And not only faith, but hope's the gift of God. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hope is the gift of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now that our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, 2 Thessalonians 2, 16, who loved us, and hath given us everlasting comfort, and has given us a good hope through grace. May he comfort your heart. Who gave you that hope? Our Lord Jesus Christ and God, even our Father, who loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Herein is love, not that we love God. He loved us and gave his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Our love is a response to his love. The moon has no light in itself. It reflects light. We don't produce light. We reflect it. We don't produce love. It's a gift of God. Let me show you that in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. All grace is the gift of God. For by grace are you, Romans 5, verse 5, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Paul said, I thank God who's given us a good hope through grace. And now love, Romans 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, my. Paul said, I'm writing to the saints, sanctified in Christ. I'm writing to faithful, faithful brethren, believers, to whom God has given such precious, crowning graces, faith in Christ, love for one another, and a blessed, living, sure, certain hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And here in verse 5, the last line says, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. This is the beginning of this sanctification, of this faithfulness, of this brotherhood. It has a start. You see, we weren't born believers naturally. We were born sons of Adam. We were born in sin. We were born flesh. That which is flesh, as is born of the flesh, is flesh. But there came a time when we became sanctified saints, when we became brethren. We were born into God's family, born of God, born of the Spirit of God, born of the Word of God, born of the will of God, born again. Came that time when we became faithful, when God spoke to our hearts and gave that grace of faith and love and hope. When did that happen? When did it start? You heard before in the Word of the truth of the gospel. That's when it started, when you heard the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name of the Lord. Jehovah the provider, Jehovah the righteousness, Jehovah the holiness. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And Paul says, you heard. You heard the word of the truth of the gospel. You heard it. Look at the next line, verse 6, which has come to you. This gospel came to you. You didn't come to it. It came to you. You were changed by God bringing his gospel to you, his word to you. That's when it took place. You heard the word. You heard the word. John chapter 6. Turn to John 6. Taught of God. John chapter 6. Listen to this. Sixth chapter of John. Some of these fellows, these religious fellows, they said when our Lord talked about his deity, they said in John 6:42, is this not Jesus? This is the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? How can he be from heaven and be from Nazareth? How can he be from God and be from Mary? We know his mother. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And I raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. And every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned, he comes to me. Oh, I come to God, don't I? Yes, because he came to me. I come to Christ. Yes, I do. Willingly, lovingly, obediently. But I come to Christ because he came to me. It's written in the prophets, they shall be taught of God. And every man that hears and is taught of God, he'll come to me. And that's what Paul says about these people here that have that faith in Christ, that love for Christ, and that hope of eternal life. They heard. They heard the gospel. It came to you. It came to you. As it is in all the world, as it goes out in all the world, go into all the world and preach the gospel, preach the truth, and it bringeth forth fruit. It came to you, you heard it, and it brought forth fruit. When did it start bringing forth fruit? When you heard it, and when you received it, when you believed it. You were made willing. You were changed by that gospel. You brought forth fruit. You heard, and you brought forth fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, turn to Galatians 5. Here's the fruit. Here's the fruit here. It's a heart fruit. It's a spiritual fruit. And it's a fruit. It's not plural. It's not fruits. It's not works. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the produce of the Spirit. It's the evidence of the Spirit's presence. You hear. The gospel comes to you and you hear it, and it brings forth fruit if you hear it. And here's the fruit of the Spirit's love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit. That's the fruit. When does this change occur? All right, listen. The day you heard it. It brought forth fruit. Listen to this. as it does in you since the day you heard it. You see that in verse 6? This gospel's come to you as it is in all the world and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day you heard it. And one more word, and knew the grace of God. The day you heard it, but you knew it. This is the grace of God. You know, I urge people, come in here. It's like one of the disciples found his brother and he said, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And the brother said, well, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, you come. And say, you come and sit down and listen and see. The gospel will come to you. God will send it to you. And you'll hear it. You'll hear it with these ears first. This way you hear it first. Gospel is a heart word. Faith is a heart word. Repentance is a heart word. A man forsakes his thoughts. His thoughts and his ways. That's repentance is a heart word. Faith is a heart word. And he believes on Christ, and he receives Christ, and he loves Christ, and he walks with Christ. It starts right here, hearing. But sometimes there's a long time between what happens here and what happens here. And that's what he's saying here. This gospel, says this gospel came to you. It came to you as it is in all the world, and it brought forth fruit. What kind of fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, belief, hope, brought forth all these fruits in here. Since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God. That's what happens next. Knowledge. That happens. And I see it happening. I see, I've been preaching a long time. And I know a lot of people. A lot of people. And I've ministered to a lot of people. And I see people come, and they listen. They're religious. Everybody's religious. This town's been saved 14 times. Everybody in this town's been saved at least 14 times. Down now, rededicated and gone through all the washings and the wigglings and all the carrying on and the vows and the renewals and the rededications and all. But some people are really saved. They're really saved. And I watch it take place. I see a person come and sit, and they hear. It's different. I preach salvation, not what you do for God, it's what God does for you. It's a permanent work. It's a heart work. It's a miracle. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to put the world in space. But when God saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it was a miracle of his love and grace. And I watch. And you say, well, do you know when they're beginning to know? Yes, when they're changing. When they change. And you can tell by your children or by your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, whomever, come and hear this gospel. They'll hear it for a while, and then they'll begin to change. Their language will change. Their attitude will change. Their desire to hear the word will change. Their talk will change. There are a lot of things that begin to change. That's right. God can't come into a man's heart and him not change. That's just so. And you'll notice it. When that person begins to know, it's like a man sitting here, I've told this many times, he came to hear me preach dozens of times. And I kept inviting him back. Come back. He said, I might. One Sunday, the Lord preached here. Not just me, but he preached. And that man came out the door, and I took him by the hand. I said, come back. He said, I'll be back. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I see it. I was preaching down in Mexico, and a crowd of people down there preaching to a translator in Spanish, Milton Howard. And God gave me some power to preach. A big crowd of people out under the stars. Oh, I loved that night. They came from miles. And after the service, I was watching people talk, and I couldn't hear a word or understand a word they said. But one man, great big fella, talking to Brother Howard, and he just talking away. And when they got through, Howard came over, and I said, what did he say? He said, I've heard you fellas lots of times. Tonight, I heard you. sensitive. I heard you. Argued, debated, quarreled, reasoned, what I think, what I, my mama thinks, what somebody else thinks, but after the gospel shuts his mouth and changes him. That's right. It came to you, you heard it, and you knew it. And that brings forth fruit. Grace of God. Knew it in truth. You'll never be the same. I heard a preacher yesterday on television. He said, now, some preachers preach once in grace, always in grace. He said, that Bible doesn't teach that. No, but it teaches this, once in Christ, always in Christ. Once in Christ. Once in Christ. Because there's nothing better. Like the disciples said, well, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Well, he said, verse 7, you learned this from Epaphras. I'm not the first man to tell you this. Our dear fellow servant, which is for you a faithful minister in Christ, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire four things. Paul says, I desire four things for you, you saints, you faithful brethren, who believe Christ, who love one another, who've heard the gospel, who know the gospel, who bear the fruit of the Spirit, bear the fruit of the Spirit. I desire four things for you. Number one, that you might be filled to overflowing with the knowledge of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh, boy. Oh, to watch people grow in wisdom, in the knowledge of the will of God, in spiritual understanding. Lord, Moses says, show me your way. Show me your way. I've seen your acts and your judgments and your creation. Show me your way. Lead me in a plain path, David said. Lord, teach me your way. Lead me in a plain path. Christ said that when the Holy Spirit's come, He'll guide you into truth. The rich, deep, precious truth of Christ. I pray that you might walk worthy of the Lord, worthy of your calling, that your conversation and conduct might become the gospel. That, if you heard somebody saying, that's not becoming to you. Well, our lives ought to be becoming to the gospel. Our talk ought to be seasoned with grace. It ought to point men to God, not away from God. Walk worthy of Him that called. You're the King's son. You're the King's daughter. King's daughters, every one of you king, the king, not a king, the king's daughters. Live like it, dress like it, talk like it, act like it. My Father's the King. My Lord is Jesus Christ. My gospel is the truth. Does it bear evidence? Well, walk worthy. I pray for you that you might be fruitful in every good work, that you might bear the fruit of the Spirit. Fruitful and good works, with trees of righteousness. Let me show you a scripture I read last night over here in Luke 13. This scripture is powerful. It just does something to you when you read it. We're talking about fruit now, bear fruit. Bear fruit. That you might be fruitful in every good work. In Luke 13, verse 6, the Lord Jesus spake a parable, this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit there, and he didn't find any. He said to the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground? No fruit. And he answering said, Lord, Lord, leave it alone. Leave this little tree alone. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if it doesn't, cut it down. Paul prays for this church that you might increase in the knowledge of his will. that you might walk worthy of the Lord who called you, and that your life might bear fruit, and you won't be a tree that God says, cut it down. And the pastor says, Lord, leave it there just a little while longer. Let me dig around it a little bit. Let me preach to him. Let me put some fertilizer of the word. And if he doesn't bear any fruit, then you go ahead and cut him down. Just go ahead. Because a non-bearing fruit is a non-bearing tree. Fruit-bearing tree is not good. All right, verse 11, that you might be strengthened with all might according to his power. Now, you know, all these things I've been saying, this is not things we produce. It's his fruit. Did you notice when I read the fruit of the Spirit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the gift of God. And we're not expected to walk and to grow and to bear fruit in our own strength, but strengthened with all might according to his power. Give me grace. Give me faith. Give me love. Give me the opportunity to glorify your name. Give me overcoming strength and power. Lord, don't leave me alone. That's what he's praying for them. We're not expected to produce fruit of ourselves or walk and grow and bear witness of ourselves, but in his strength, his power. Who's sufficient for what I'm trying to do? Preach the gospel. Who's sufficient for these things? Paul exclaimed that. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, this gospel. I'm not sufficient for these things, but I know who is. He is. And he can give me grace and give me strength and give me power and teach me. Strengthen with his might. We're not expected to bear trials. Some of you, our people, are going through some deep water right now. Some heartbreaking struggles and trials. How can they bear up under it with patience and grace and faith and a good witness? Only by his strength. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed three times, God, remove it. And God said, I'm not going to do it. But I'll give you grace. My grace is sufficient. You can't do it. I was sitting, I was supposed to be preaching a Bible conference in Detroit one time, and I tell you, the older I get, the harder it is to preach, honestly. Because it's such the burden of the word, the weight of the word, that be true to God. Operating on hearts is awesome. And I was sitting there holding my message and my Bible on the front row, two or three preachers around me, and praying for some help. And a man came by, a fellow aspiring to be a preacher, and he said, are you ready? I said, well, I got something down here. I hope I can preach it. He said, well, if you're not, I am. I'll take your place if you want me to. I didn't want to listen to him. Anybody that anxious to get up here, I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear him. And I don't want to hear about what you're doing, but I would like to hear about what he's doing through you. I don't want to hear about what you used to do or going to do. I want to hear about what he has done for you. He gets the glory, doesn't he? That you might be strengthened with all might according to the glorious power unto patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father. My time's up. I'll pick up with that tonight. I'll be back if you will. And we'll go on with this. Giving thanks to the Father. He's done some wonderful things for us. Done some wonderful things. Delivered us from the power of darkness. Translated us into the kingdom of his Son. Written our names in the book of life. Given us the presence of his Spirit. Made us partakers. Made us qualified to be a partaker of eternal glory in Christ.